services and just kind of look over a couple of these things again. It says, one preach Christ of contention. Oh, I'm sorry, 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I wonder if we have that attitude about, you know, the gospel. I mean, here he was saying, I don't care, if the gospel is being preached, whether they be on my side or against me, it don't make no difference. He said, because I rejoice that the name of Christ is being lifted up. Now, we got a lot of, I know, I may mention this years ago. I remember a lot of churches were, you know, divided, even amongst the independents. Man, and yet one crowd over here, and one crowd over there, and one crowd over here. And they didn't have nothing to do with each other because they say stuff like they're not my kind. I remember Brother Darrell Cox making mention in prayer room one time about how the people at their church, because they had scheduled a preacher coming in there, and they made it known that they wouldn't be attending because he wasn't their kind. And this man preached the gospel. And it was very petty stuff, and a lot of people. But Paul, on the other hand, he says, I rejoice that the gospel is preached. You know, whether they be for me or against me, as long as the gospel is preached, I rejoice. He said, for I know, he said, not notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I remember years, Brother Rick, I think you used to come down Spirit Square some, didn't you? And we was down there, and we had been giving out some gospel tracts, and I give this fella a gospel tract, and they were drunk. There were about four or five businessmen. They had got off work, and they went in over an old bar over there, and they'd been sitting there during happy hour and got lit pretty good. They headed for their cars to drive home inebriated. And he was going up there, and I said, sir, I'd like to give you this. And he took it, and it was a Romans rodent. And he was sitting there. He was reading that thing loud, loud. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he was doing it mockingly. For the wages of sin is death. You know, just going off, just loud. And I wanted to turn and say, and Brother Benny Louder said, shush, he's preaching. That verse came to his mind. The fact that, hey, them other fellas were kind of like this. They were getting under conviction that guy was mockingly reading that tract. And if I'd have said anything, I'd have took away from that. People know when it's real and when it's not. You know? And God Almighty is able to get the glory out of both. Years ago, I remember, another time, uptown. And boy, these guys was mocking. I was preaching. I was preaching out of Peter over there, where he said in the last days perilous times would come, and they'd be mockers. And this guy was hanging out of his car, and he was mocking and going on at us, you know, for being out there preaching the gospel and handing out gospel tracts. These girls were sitting in the car hitting him like this, like, shut up. Please shut up. Man, they scared lightning was going to come down and get them. You can tell. They was afraid. They're like, shut up. You don't mock God, you know? I don't know where a lot of that has went, but I thank God for that. And Paul said, he said, I I rejoice in fact that it's preached, whether in pretense or whatever, for I know this shall turn, 18, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. And as one of those verses, boy, I'll tell you what, conviction comes. In nothing shall I be ashamed. Man, I do good if I get through half a day and not do something that I wouldn't be ashamed of. Whether, you know, whether it's in what I do or what I don't do. I can make excuse. I can talk about being tired. I can talk about I got so much to do and I'm so busy. But the Bible says plainly that we are to give the gospel and we're debtors. We're debtors. We owe every man, the Bible says, the gospel. Every man. The gospel, we owe that to them. And how often have the people go by me that I've not paid my debt? How much do I owe? Bible said, and Paul said, I'm debtors. I'm a debtor. And we all are. We're debtors. Hey, to give all men the gospel. And it said, for I know this shall turn my salvation according to my earnest, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ might be, here's another one, might be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. How much was Christ? I mean, what kind of a magnifying glass were we this week? These reading glasses, they magnify. I mean, see, you get that little bit of small print, I can't see it too good without these things. This is a giant print, and I'm getting where I'm having trouble if I don't have good light to see that. I've just gotten so used to wearing these things now, I just about need it for everything. But it says right here that Christ may be magnified in my body. And that's what our bodies are to be. They are to be a magnifying glass, magnifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His word is out there, but how much is it being magnified through us? His life is out there. He's in the church. He's here in the body of Christ. But how much is he being magnified today within the body of Christ? Again, I say we're debtors to every man. Hey, I tell you what, if our magnifying glass was big, you know what I mean? If it was big and it was powerful, you know what I'm saying? We wouldn't owe so much. We wouldn't be debtors. The gospel would be getting out. You know what I'm saying? Huh? How much are we magnifying Christ? It didn't say in our spirit. I will say this. We need to get in our prayer closets so we can magnify when we come out. We need to get alone with God and let Him fill us. And boy, we can see this right over here. It's so good. To be magnified body, my body, whether it be life or by death. For to me to live, there's another one. For me to live is what? What is it for us to live? For me to live is Christ, Paul says. Some people it's money. For me to live is Christ. For them, for me to live is money. Make more money. Get a better job. Get better clients, you know, sell more, so I can buy more. so that I can make more, so I can get more. A lot of us, just like that guy over there, said, man, he said, boy, man, my fields have increased greatly. Boy, he said, wherein am I going to bestow all my goods? He said, I know. I tear down my barns. I build bigger barns. And boy, and I'll gather it all up and put it in my barns. And boy, and saying to my soul, he said, you have much goods laid up for me. He said, boy, he said, man, just lay back now and enjoy it. And God said, you're a fool. This day, this night, this, I mean right now, your soul's required of you. And whose things shall these be? Paul talked about spending and being spent. Years ago, I remember hearing Jerry Falwell talking about, you know, because there was so much of this stuff about people were preaching about, you know, sowing seed so that God bless you and you receive unto yourself. Boy, man, sow your seed. I seen this old bird on television the other day. Sow your $58 seed so you'd be blessed. All this stuff would be returned unto you. But he got in there and Brother Jerry Falwell got in there and preached. He said, look, we give to get. Why? To give. Yes, to get. To do what? To give. It's not about getting. It's about giving. And Apostle Paul said, spending and being spent for the gospel. What, and what difference does it make what we lay up? Because we're going to leave it all behind. I love that old story about, man, these two birds, jay birds standing there on the street. And boy, this big long profession, funeral procession is going by. And I mean, we got these big old stretch limos. And I mean, it's just a big old parade of wealth. Going by, this one old fellow said, man, I wonder what all he left behind. And there's an old black man standing back here was sweeping the sidewalk. He said, he left it all behind. He left it all behind. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if you're leaving it all behind, what good does it do to get? Huh? If you're leaving it behind, what good is it doing for you to get? You're to spend, to reach out for souls. Amen. 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 For I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Now, let me back up here. For if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I've heard people talk about, boy, man, you better make up your mind what you're going to do when this comes and that comes. You know, that's, I guess that's okay, make preparations. But Apostle Paul said, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do when it comes. And nobody else does either. You don't know what you're going to do when persecution comes. You don't know what you're going to do when sickness comes. You don't know what you're going to do when maybe if your family turns against you or your church turns against you or your neighborhood. You don't know what you're going to do. All you can do is take what you got right now and devote it to God and pray God to keep you. And He will. He will keep you. I mean, buddy, we can slip and slide all over the rock, but we're not coming off. Amen? Amen. We're secure. But he said, what I'll do, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy and faith. Now, you know, I don't know how to say this because I don't know what I do, and I'm not trying to get anybody really to question you what your faith is or what you would do in times of adversity. But you know, Paul had this confidence. He said, I want to depart. He said, but it's far needful. Far more needful for you that I remain. And you know, you think about it. He was under persecution. Every time he turned around, he was being locked up. the people trying to kill him. He'd been beat up. He'd been stoned. He'd been beat with rods. He'd been, man, cats and nine tails been put to his back. And he spent about as much time in prison as he did on the mission. He did a lot of his mission work right there in the prisons. Like I said, one of the first prison ministries, you know. And, buddy, he was there. He was in there with them, buddy. He wasn't going nowhere. But you think of it. And he said, for me to leave would be far better. What if persecution comes to us? Would we be ready to turn tail and run or stand? You know, we don't know, do we? But this could happen. And he had made this decision right here. He said, it's more needful for you that I remain. There's places in the world right now. I mean, where there's persecution going on, and people are choosing to stay right where they are rather than flee because it's more needful for the brethren that they stay. And a lot of them are going to do what? They're going to glorify God in their death because they're going to die. And they know that that's a very strong possibility if they stay, or if they open their mouth, or if they be a witness. Be with Christ is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Boy, I like that word, that last word. Last three words, joy of faith. I got a thought right there. Come to me when I first see that, saw that. Joy of faith. Right here. Amen. Right here. Huh? Amen. Joy of faith. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Well, hey, when this brings you joy, amen. Huh? Amen. Boy, when you get this book, boy, and let it, hey, people run around, they're all down, and, you know, they're all down in the mouth and all discouraged. Why don't we just get in the book, huh? You get down discouraged, won't you just get in the book, pray, read, study, ask God to give you something, because He said your joy is in your faith. And that faith is in this book. Boy, when you get in there and study it, and all of a sudden God give you a big old fat nugget, remind you that you're His, you know? Hey, remind you that you got a home, you know what I mean? That's secure. Hey, when you get in there, boy, and you know that God, you got a reward. Boy, you read this Bible, and the Bible said, and God said, and all men shall have praise of God. There's going to come a day when God's going to look at you and praise you for what you did.
Praise God. Yes.
Huh? Yes. I don't know why He'd want to praise me, but He said He's going to. I believe Him. I'm just stupid enough to believe this book. Amen?
Yes,
sir. I'm glad I'm a simple guy. I am. I'm glad I'm a simple-minded fellow. I read this book, and I believe what God says. Boy, He said right here, if you're going to have joy, the joy of faith. Boy, I mean, that's rich. Because, hey, I just read over there them other things. Boy, it says, oh, man, sometimes I'm ashamed. You know? Oh, man. Hey, sometimes I don't have the boldness I ought to have. And man, sometimes I don't magnify God, Jesus Christ in my body. And sometimes for me to live in Christ, sometimes for me to live with David Leslie, I get caught up in what David Leslie wants. But I get in that Bible and I'm reminded. And you know what I want to do then? I want to get straight. I want to get right. Huh? Boy, that plumb bob comes down. I can see how I'm out of kilter. And you can see it. That faith shows you when you're leaning the wrong way. And you, boy, you start lining back up with it. Huh? You start looking down that thing, gun barrel straight. Boy, you can see what all Christ has done for you. And what all He's doing. And what all He's going to do. Amen? And boy, then you can get some joy back in your life again. And you, hey, you can walk on, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. But if you don't stay in that book, because of your flesh, it won't be long. You're going to be out. You're going to be out. What do you think? Why do you think these people are out? Well, I got my feelings hurt. You might have got your feelings hurt. For them to live wasn't Christ. For them to live with them. And I got my feelings hurt. You know? People.
Yes, sir.
If I was coming here, and I appreciate all the encouragement I get from different ones of you from time to time. But if to come here was built upon what this church does for me, I'd be out of here. If what Brother Rick got out of going to them prisons was all you got, how long would you last? Be more discouragement than it is encouragement, isn't it? Huh?
Amen.
You get spit in the face more than you get kissed on the cheek, do you not? Huh?
Amen.
That's just life, buddy. Same way down there on the job. You get more licks than you do kisses. And the only thing that's going to keep us going in the right direction is a joy that's going to come from this book right here. How look how I failed God and I'm ready to quit. I said, what's the use? I'm sorry as dirt. I'm a low-down hound dog. I was telling Brother Rick, I remember years ago, hearing no prayer. I ain't going to say what preacher. But I remember hearing him say, he said, you don't know me. Well, we'd all say, oh, well, we love you. We think, yeah. We know you got to walk with God. You could feel the power in His preaching. He said, you don't know me. He said, what I know about me, he said, oftentimes, he said, I loathe me. You ever feel that way sometimes? You say, boy. When it comes to being a Christian, I'm like Apostle Paul. I would argue with him. He said he was chief of sinners. I said, Paul, I hadn't been born yet. But I'm going to tell you what, it's the truth. He would probably look at my life and still say that. Because he knew his failures. He knew what he had done. He knew how he felt like he come short in areas. He knew what he had did against Christ and against his church. Notice this, he says, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again, there's no one of the real. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, this is a church. This is the mind of a unity, of a church that's in unity. He's encouraging them. He said, do what? He said, not individually here. Only let your behavior. He's at a church now. Because he goes on. If you look down here. Let your confidence be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see your else be evident. I mean, hear your affairs. That ye stand fast in one spirit. With one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul's encouraging that church, and Paul's trying to encourage this church that we all stand fast together. How? Stand fast together in the things that he just said. Like he was going to stand. To live as Christ. To die as gain. Realizing you can't trust your own self, but knowing that Christ, who started his work in you, is going to perform it. And whether you fall, hey, the only failure is the one that stays down. Just get up. Just get up. You say, I can't get up. Then ask Christ to help you up.
Amen.
He's able to make you stand. The Bible says he will. Get in this Bible, study this Bible. That's what he's saying. Get your joy fast in this Bible. Get your mind in this Bible. And then will our behavior be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. That spirit there is not, yes, it's the spirit that the Holy Spirit will give us. It's not per se the Spirit of God. It's that we all got the same mind, the same desire. We want to do the same thing. Hey, it's all about one thing. It's about Christ. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be down on the job. Hey, whether it be at our house. Whether it be amongst our family. Whether it be on vacation. Whether it be out there, buddy, working on a bus route. I'm going to tell you, you can work a bus route and be a million miles from God. I know. I've done it many a time. My mind be full of everything but Christ. You can be a Sunday school teacher and be a million miles from God. Just doing it all in the flesh. Doing it all for vainglory. Doing it for... Oh, my goodness. I'll never forget that message that Ron Garrett preached on vainglory. Do you remember that? Oh, gosh. It ain't about what we do, it's about what Christ does through us.
Amen.
It's about letting Him have His way. And the only way that our conversation be as becomes a gospel of Christ, if it's Christ living through us and in us. It was a great day for me when I read that over in the book of... Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, 16th chapter. I'm going to read in verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Boy, it better be His grace. Now to Him that is of power to establish you. In other words, make you stand. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Have you heard Him preach lately? Have you heard Jesus preaching lately? They never heard Him in His flesh preaching. But have you heard Him preach lately? My prayer for our pastors, every time he gets up in that pulpit, that God muzzles him.
Amen.
And speaks through him. And let it be the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the doctrine of Christ, you know, would not be hindered by our own philosophies. Because it don't matter what we think. It matters what Christ knows. And He wants to declare it to us. And He wants us to hear it. And He wants us to know it too. What's going to establish you according to these verses? What's going to make you stand? What's going to make... It's the preaching of Jesus Christ. the gospel of Christ, whether I come, see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. You stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. And what mind is that to be? Look in chapters 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you. This is the mind that we're to have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Nor did he die to himself. Not until death, being obedient to death. Letting death have its way in your life. Well, I mean, get up in the morning, crucify yourself, and crucify yourself all day long if that's what it takes. Every time that old burger starts wiggling down off the cross, drive in another nail. Be obedient unto death, dying to ourselves, letting Christ have his way in our lives. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name. Now he humbled himself. He humbled himself and God exalted him. I'm afraid that oftentimes men exalt men and then God has to humble them. I've heard Brother Joe tell this over and over again. We have this bad habit. We'll put men up on a pedestal. Get them up high. Lift them up. Boy, man. What a preacher. What a man of God. God's already told us what we were. And if you ain't careful, you keep doing that to a man, keep doing that to a man, you know what to do? Puff him up. Then you know what God has to do? Yeah, he's going to kick the, he's going to cook. He's going to jerk the rug out from under him. He's going to, him and a little pedestal will come crashing to the ground. Then we'll say, man, wow, I knew something wasn't right about him to begin with.
Sure did.
Huh? Why, yeah, of course there was something right about him. He's a man. We get thinking, we something. I heard something the other day, boy, it was good. I ain't going to tell you who said it. Somebody in the church. But he said something about somebody. He said, shut my mouth. He said, I got four children coming along. Shut my mouth. Be careful what we say. That was good. He said that. I said, amen, brother. Amen. I pray for you. I pray God help you keep your mouth shut. You pray God help you keep mine shut. I don't put my mouth on nobody. I don't even put my mouth on the devil. I let God take care of you. Oh, I want to let this mouth. I want it to exalt Christ altogether. I think everything we've seen in these verses has said one thing to us. Let Christ have his way. Yield. Admit that you can't do it. You don't have the strength. Let me finish these verses. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but you have salvation and that of God. For unto you, who it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, and this is good, this is what God's wanting to give you, this is his gift to you. Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. In other words, Paul said, okay, you've heard, you know I'm in prison, you know I've taken a few whippings, you know I'm being persecuted, you know how I'm suffering, persecutions right now. He said, well, he said, what I'm telling you, he said, friends, let me tell you something. It's not just given. This is just not for me. This is for you all. This is a gift God has given you. With that in mind, let's look over here in chapter 3. Verses 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Hey, guess what you're going to have to do if you're going to know the resurrection? You'll have to die. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Not one suffering, sufferings. And being made conformable unto His death. He didn't die for Himself. He died for others. What's that verse saying? He's telling us it's time for us to die for others. For the sake of others. Let this my motto be. Amen. Others. Until it's others, it's going to be self. And we'll never know joy as long as it's self. We'll never know peace, and we'll never know Christ. Oh, we'll know who He is. We're saved. We'll know some things about Him, but we won't know Him intimately and personally until we come to this point that we die to self. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Larry Justice, will you pray for us? Bless you. Oh, I want to tell you too. Next week, we're going to meet in here. And for the next 2 months, we're all going to meet in the auditorium. We're going to meet as a whole church. And we're going to be having different men come speak to us and encouraging us in there. In our own personal walk with Christ. So I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to all of us.